Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I'll be back here in just a moment to talk a little bit more about the problems that we have, but right now, a brief musical interlude. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we're trying to, of course, track down our special guest for this evening's program, who is Dr. Lorraine Day, certainly one of my favorite guests. You know, Lorraine has got a tremendous background, in medicine. She has information that very, very few doctors have, because she has full time to spend actually analyzing what's the medical literature. So you hang on here for just a minute. We're going to have to do a little special effort to try to track her down. We'll be with you in just a moment. All right, well, we're going to be talking this evening about alternative medicine. And certainly, as you begin looking into what's happening today, we find the Vioxx scandal. Now, for years, they've been telling us how wonderful Vioxx was. Oh, it's a wonderful new day. Why now, of course, you can do away with the pain of arthritis, and you do away with the pain of arthritis by taking one of these pills. And you remember the advertisements where this skating champion is out there on the ice with all the children, and now what a wonderful day it is. Now I'm pain-free. Well, she was using something called a COX-2 inhibitor. And, of course, this was basically something just like Motrin, designed for the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medication. But the difficulty was that non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications already usually bother your stomach. So here was a medicine that, of course, did not bother your stomach. You could take it. The only trouble is it gave you heart attacks and strokes. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're having a little difficulty this evening getting our special guest on, Dr. Lorraine Day, but hopefully we'll have her tracked down in just a very, very few minutes. Dr. Lorraine Day is certainly one of the most outstanding people I've ever met. I got to know Lorraine very, very well personally back in the days when I was involved in the battle to try to address the AIDS epidemic as a public health issue and save human lives. At the time I got involved, there weren't that many people that had the disease, maybe 100,000. Well, so far in America, a quarter of a million homosexuals have died, a quarter of a million non-homosexuals have died, about another million people are infected in this country. Throughout the world, about 20 million people have died, another 40 million people are infected, and it's all totally unnecessary. Everything has been done to block an effective public health approach to this terrible and devastating epidemic. And the great, great tragedy is the average American has no idea that there is an organized effort to block the implementation of adequate public health measures to stop the spread of this disease. Most of the homosexuals don't realize that their leaders have betrayed them. This disease could have been stopped. The death of homosexuals could have been prevented. But everything was done to block an effective public health approach, and a lot of this was coordinated right from the highest levels of our public health service. It was coordinated initially from the White House. I happen to know personally what was happening in the White House because not the President of the United States, Ronald Reagan, but the advisors decided not to do anything to try to stop the epidemic. And it wasn't until 1987 when Ronald Reagan's advisors told him that we better start doing something about the epidemic. It's spread out of the homosexual and IV drug user community into the general population. Maybe we ought to go ahead and use standard and effective public health approach to this epidemic. Everett Koop had done everything he could to block the implementation of standard public health approach to the epidemic. Because why? This is a very, very effective means of population control. Do you know a better way to kill off literally hundreds of millions of people than to allow a major epidemic to spread unchecked? And tragically, this is the reality of the AIDS epidemic. Well, eventually, I worked with Dr. Day, and I was eventually able to swing the entire California Medical Association around to a position of supporting an effective public health policy. I got a standing ovation from the members of the California Medical Association, but it didn't do any good. The leaders of organized medicine had no intention of trying to stop this terrible, terrible plague. And, of course, it was about 1995, 1996, when I finally realized that it really didn't matter what I did, what the doctors wanted, what logic was. There was another agenda behind what was going on, and it was during that time, perhaps a little earlier than that, when Lorraine, who'd fought the good fight along with me, she'd been chief of orthopedics at San Francisco General Hospital and associate professor of orthopedics. She would certainly now be a full professor in charge of a department of orthopedics somewhere in the country. And that, you know, if she had stayed with medicine, and that's very unusual because now, orthopedics is a very, very masculine profession. There are not very many the women in orthopedics, but Lorraine was able to compete very effectively with the men in the field, and she was a great orthopedic surgeon. But, you know, after working for a decade trying to address this epidemic and stop this spread of this terrible plague, and then facing cancer herself in the meantime and almost dying from it, she finally decided to drop out of medicine and try to share with people across America what she had learned, because she had come to the conclusion, as I had, that the reason we weren't trying to stop the spread of AIDS was because it is being used for population control. When I was talking, I would always be asked if someone in the audience would put up their hand and say, well, tell me, where did this epidemic come from? Or if they were black, they would say, I've heard this organism was created to kill off black people. And I would always say, well, you're asking the wrong question. The question you should be asking is not, where did the epidemic come from? The question you should be asking is, why aren't we trying to stop the spread of this disease? Because doctors know how to stop the spread of epidemics. You try to identify who has the disease, and you try to keep them from giving it to other people. That's how you stop the spread of a disease, sexually transmitted, respiratory transmitted, doesn't matter what it is, tuberculosis, syphilis, gonorrhea, whether it's sexually transmitted or aerosol transmitted, you try to stop people giving the disease to other people, except we're not doing it with the AIDS. Every effort has been made to discourage doctors from trying to identify people who has the disease and allowing this disease to spread. Well, Lorraine, I think before I ever came across what was going on, Lorraine Day recognized that this was really population control. But I will tell you that I had a very, very difficult time accepting that fact. You see, there's certain things that you don't like to admit. I mean, they're just too horrible to contemplate that anything could be that evil, that people would actually create a disease to kill millions of human beings. Why? Well, we know what happened during the Holocaust, and we know there were 6 million Jews killed, and we know there were 12 million others killed. But that was then, and this is now. This thing couldn't be going on today, or could it? And I would like to suggest that it is going on today, only on a far greater scale than most people have any concept of. And it's not simply overseas, it's right here in the United States. Now, as we've learned, of course, we know, for instance, in 1969, why a doctor, Richard Day, addressed a group of doctors in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and this would have been May or April or May, somewhere in there. And we have a doctor who's actually attended that meeting. And basically, I'm sorry, we're trying to get hold of Dr. Dan and trying to read the screen and talk at the same time. So it looks like we're not going to have a guest for this evening. So I'm going to ask if you're out there in the listening audience, if you'd like to give us a call. Why, we're certainly available for calls as we're going to have to develop these ideas here. I guess we're going to be with us on for 2 hours. Anyway, the situation is basically that looking what's going on, we know that Dr. Richard Day addressed a group of doctors in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in April or May of 1969, and he was the director of medicine at the medical director of Planned Parenthood at the time. He talked about the fact that there was a small group of people who ruled the world. He called them the Order. He actually talked about how they felt there were too many people in the world. They were going to have to create new diseases to kill off large numbers of people. Now, if any of you would like to hear these interviews we have with Dr. Richard Day, why they're called included in a 4-tape set called The New Order of the Barbarians. That's The New Order of the Barbarians. Really one of the most devastating 4-tape sets we have, and we actually have that transcription of that. It's the only tape set we have that we have transcribed, but I think it's the information there is so vitally important. Now, we know that approximately 2 to 3 months later, and I believe it was in either June or July of 1969, that Dr. MacArthur went before the House Appropriations Committee for Military Affairs and asked for $10 million to create a new organism that could be used as an instrument of mass killing. And this would be an organism that basically would paralyze the immune system. There would be no immune response to it. It would destroy this immune response which protects us from diseases. And so, and we know that he specifically asked for the money, $10 million, with the proviso that they knew very well this was a means of a mass killing. Well, we have every reason to believe. We know that the CIA and the government were actually had employed literally thousands of scientists to work on a secret program to create new diseases. Now, there's a man named Boyd Graves who's got hold of a number of the various government reports. They were the special virus cancer program report. Most of these have been shredded and destroyed. Well, if there's nothing to hide, why are they hiding it? Why did they shred them? They thought they'd shredded them all, but there were still some copies of number eight and number nine and available that actually Boyd Graves had collected the rest of them. But, of course, we have from several sources. There's a book called Full Disclosure by a man named Gary Glum. And Gary talks in his book about having a scientist come to him and tell him that he's dying of pancreatic cancer, and he wants to tell him the truth. He was part of this team that created the AIDS virus. I have a very close friend. I won't use his name, although if you call me off the air, I'll tell you who he is. One of the world's leading scientists who told me that several people have come to him and said that they were part of this team that created the AIDS virus. They had no idea when they were doing this. This would ever be used. It was all for science. It was all in the laboratory. And only, of course, when it became apparent what had happened, did they realize that they'd been part of creating a new disease. Now, this is not an ordinary disease. It destroys the immune system, and it is specifically genetically engineered to kill blacks. And this is why, for instance, in the United States, over 50% of the new AIDS cases are within the black community, and in Africa, why it's decimating the entire community over there. Well, we've got Will calling from Missouri. Hi, Will. How you doing?
Dr. Stan, thank you for taking my call.
Well, I appreciate your calling because we don't have a guest for the evening. I guess maybe she forgot. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, you started out talking about Vioxx, and there are a plethora of pharmaceuticals on the market that have the intention to mask and block pain of various and sundry kinds. And I worked in the construction industry for a long time, and have also been a mountain climber and whatnot, and I've had two very horrible automobile accidents. But what I've found in my life, that if you avoid the pain blockers and the pain maskers, then your body can speak to you. The pain will tell you. And if you learn to deal with the pain and to be aware of it, you can endure easily. Actually, it's not the word endure isn't really the correct way of looking at it. You can work with your body to not continue to exacerbate it. But if you take a painkiller, then, especially with spinal injuries like mine, then you put yourself in this false euphoria where you can then go and injure yourself again. Or if you have a rotator cuff injury and you go in and take some kind of drug or whatnot, and then you go back and play tennis or handball or something, you can cause much greater damage to the body. So the idea of taking drugs to mask pain, I think, is not quite the right track. What do you feel?
Well, I think that it really depends. If you have, for instance, a severe degenerative arthritis, you may be able to get by for many years without it. But if you have back injuries, I think what you have to understand is that most of the pain from a back injury comes from the muscles. And if you can, of course, get those muscles to stop hurting, doesn't matter whether you maybe have a pinched nerve, doesn't matter whether it's coming from the joints in the back, doesn't matter whether it's coming from the bone. If you get rid of the back pain, the muscle pain, why, of course, you'll feel ever so much more comfortable, whereas simply taking drugs to cover that up, and especially some of the more habituating drugs, things like Valium, which is a great muscle relaxant, but unfortunately it's terribly, terribly addictive. And really, I think that aspirin, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications, certainly can give people a great deal of relief of discomfort. But also, it's so easy to get totally dependent on these other types of drugs. And I think that, oxycodone, Percodan, even Tylenol has some very, very serious side effects. In fact, I think probably one of the best drugs we ever had was simple aspirin. And they talked the doctors out of using that years ago because one or two ten cases every year of children who were given aspirin when they had a fever and they got some terrible complication from it. So they discouraged doctors all across the country from using aspirin, which was a very, very mild, certainly pain reliever. Get them onto Tylenol, which poisons the liver. Yeah. You know, it's amazing how, doctors are sort of like sheep. And I love doctors. I think that most of them are wonderful people trying to do a great job, but Unfortunately, if one goes one way and a couple of people write a paper, everybody follows along when we went off of aspirin onto Tylenol, and then we'll look where we are today. We'll be right back here in just a moment. You hang on there, Will.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our telephone number is in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Or out across America is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And we would have had Dr. Lorraine Day, but we haven't been able to reach her here. And so we, of course, talking to Will, and he is talking about how he certainly feels that people get too dependent on drugs, and I agree with that, but the trouble is that many of these drugs we're getting dependent upon are harmful to people, and not only that, but I think that this is a great scam, trying to get people to take the statin drugs to lower your cholesterol. How do statin drugs work? Why, they poison your liver. That's how they get the cholesterol down. When I, of course, was practicing medicine, my normal cholesterol was, up to 225. Now, that was quite acceptable. Well, they could not sell a lot of statin drugs, if that was a normal, so they had to convince the doctors it was less than 200. And now they try to get people to poison the livers down to 175. And if you poison the liver enough, you stop the liver from making cholesterol. There are two sources of cholesterol. One, of course, is what you eat, and then, of course, this is partly determined by your genetic makeup. And the other is, of course, what your liver produces. And so if you poison the liver, of course, you can eat the cholesterol, and, of course, once you poison the liver is no longer producing the cholesterol, and so you get a lower cholesterol level. But if you read these studies, they are financed by the people who make these products, and they want to sell them to you, and they're not interested in your health at all. They will come up with all sorts of statistics to tell you why you have to take their drugs and poison your liver. But I really fear that the major motivation is not saving human lives, it's making profit. And I hate to say that, but I think we can see that with the Vioxx. They've known for at least 3 to 4 years a dramatic increase in the incidence of heart disease and strokes associated with taking Vioxx. In fact, the original study showed 5 times greater heart disease and stroke in patients taking Vioxx than if you just took old-fashioned Naprosyn. But, of course, occasionally people would get gastric hemorrhages from that, and occasionally they would die from Naprosyn. That didn't happen very often, but it did happen. And so they came up with the COX-2 inhibitors that was to spare the stomach. It was just that they destroyed the heart and gave you strokes. And somewhere between 88,000 and 139,000 people are going to die because of this. When Dr. David Graham, who worked for the FDA, actually came forward and told the truth about what was going on, why he's been attacked, his career is over. But, this is what happened to whistleblowers who tell the truth about the corruption and the Federal Drug Administration. And people say, oh, we have to have a Federal Drug Administration. If we didn't have a Federal Drug Administration, who would regulate the drugs? Well, unfortunately, you can't trust the government to regulate drugs. There's nothing in the Constitution that gives them the right to do that. We could regulate them at the local level, at the state level, and I would far rather have a whole flock of state organizations rather than a federal organization. But even more than that, I think that people should be able to sue the drug companies when they come up with a product that they know is not safe and they're only selling it to make a profit.
I think it'd be absolutely wonderful, Dr. Stan, if more people would take a look at the nature's pharmacopoeia. When I was a very young person,
hold that thought for just a minute. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we've got Will on the line. And go ahead, Will. Will was talking about when he was a very young man. Of course, he believed that nature has an awful lot of cures, many more cures than the drug companies do.
That's right, Dr. Stan. And I believe also they have far less opportunity for an adverse side effect. But I came across a book in a used bookstore that was by Jethro Kloss. I don't remember the rest of the name of it. But he has, it was a very old book, or an older generation man that wrote the book. It was a recent book. But in that book, he goes through all of the things that he found that you could go out and just locate. And I also got a copy of the Peterson Field Guide, which is an excellent guide that anyone can purchase today. And I've found that...
Oh, there we are. Okay, Lorraine, are you there?
Yes, and I apologize, Dan.
Oh, those things happen all the time.
The holidays, and it's all, it just slipped my mind. Sorry.
Okay. Well, that, we'll forgive you. But as long as you send me this beautiful book that you got and all the material, including this Getting Started on Getting Well,
yes.
A workbook to accompany the video. So why don't we just talk a little bit about that, and, of course, some of the things that you have in here, going into the background of really so many things in our diet and we're coming in contact that really are terrible for our health, and some of them frankly poisonous.
Well, that's right. You know, in the workbook, I hesitated to write a book at all about getting well, because, you know, I had put out a number of videos and I have an audio set, and people want to have a book, and unfortunately one reason they want to have a book is they want to skip around. And I have warnings all through this book that if you don't start at the beginning, you won't get well. Because, you see, disease is a spiritual thing. Disease is spiritual. It means that we get sick because we want to eat and live our way rather than God's way. And until a person understands that, until they take responsibility for the shape they're in, and this is a very difficult thing for many people to come to grips with. But just like Alcoholics Anonymous, they have to stand up and say, I'm an alcoholic. I had to be able to admit publicly, I gave myself cancer. I didn't mean to do it. I didn't understand that I was doing it. But I did it nonetheless. Because I was working too long hours, I wasn't eating right, I wasn't drinking enough water, I drank a lot of coffee because as a trauma surgeon I was operating night and day. I was on estrogens. All of these things contribute to cancer and other diseases as well. And so I had to be able to say publicly, I gave myself cancer. But the good news is, you see, most doctors will tell patients, oh, this is not your fault. You didn't have anything to do with it. But then, if it's not your fault, then you are helpless to turn it around. But if you did it to yourself and you learn what not to do, you can turn it around. And that's the good news. So I talk about disease being spiritual, and then all of the other things, like I feel so alone. People are very alone. When you have cancer and when I came close to death, you die alone. I don't care if you've got all your family around you. You are dying alone. You're not going with anybody else. You are dying alone. And it's a very frightening thing for people. But they don't have to die. They can turn their disease around. So the first part is that God is the healer. He just does it through his natural health plan, through the things that he has created in their most natural form. And so that's the first part of the book. Then I start talking about, in the book also I have questions that you fill in the blanks for every video that I have to help people put it down on paper so they can remember it better. Once it goes through your mind and down on paper, you're in a lot better shape. I talk a lot about constipation in the workbook because one of the major causes of cancer and other diseases is people can't eliminate their waste. And the reason they can't is they're not drinking enough water. They're eating far too much animal products. They're not eating enough fruits, grains, and vegetables. And so they can't get the waste out of their body. When the waste hangs around, you reabsorb the toxins and get sick.
All right, fine. Well, our guest this evening is Dr. Lorraine Day. And we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the things in her workbook that, of course, I think are so beneficial. Most people, for instance, don't understand the danger of soy and soy products. Most people don't understand the danger of water fluoridation, why the government wants to fluoridate water, because they want to help the children. They want them to have healthy teeth. Well, there's a lot of things we're told, but of course a lot of the things we're told are not true. So we're going to talk a lot more about these things in just a moment or two when we get back here with Dr. Lorraine Day at Radio Liberty. And we'll welcome your calls from out across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Dr. Lorraine Day, and of course we're talking about certainly her program for health, which so much of it involves your outlook, and of course diet. Diet is not the whole solution, but it's an important part of the problem, and of course certainly Lorraine goes in great detail into a 10-point program that she has. Do you want to briefly cover the 10-point program, or should we talk about should we talk about fluoride, or should we talk about soy, or what would you like to talk about?
Well, let's just go through the 10-point program briefly. This program sounds too simple, and it is simple, but it's not easy because you have to change the way you live and eat. Most people have great difficulty doing that. But you have to feed your body properly. If you put bad things into your body will not have the ability to resist disease, whether it's cancer or any other disease. So you have to get the proper nutrition. And virtually all alternative methods involve a plant-based diet. In other words, a diet of fruits, grains, and vegetables in their natural form, eliminating animal products of all sorts. Meat, poultry, fish, dairy, and eggs, eliminate them. Eliminate sugar from your diet. Eliminate processed food with all the pests, the fillers and the MSG and the NutraSweet. And try to eat organically grown vegetables so they don't have pesticides on them. So nutrition is the first one, and then exercise. Ladies, one thing that's free will reduce your risk of breast cancer by 66%, and that's 4 hours of exercise a week. That's pretty simple. It will reduce your risk of breast cancer by 66%. Water is extremely important. If you don't drink 10 glasses of water a day, your body will get dehydrated. If you're a coffee drinker, coffee and tea and chocolate and those things take more water out of your body than comes in with the drink. So we've got to have water, and then we have to have sunlight. Sunlight does not cause skin cancer by itself. What it is that we have changed over the last 100 years from a plant-based diet to an animal product-based diet, and that's when skin cancer has come in. Our ancestors lived outdoors and worked outdoors for thousands of years and did not get skin cancer. It's a new phenomenon, and it's based on a problem with the diet, which is an animal product diet. And then we have temperance, meaning you have to get rid of all the bad things in your diet and in your life.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Okay. We've got to be right back here in just a moment. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening, Dr. Lorraine Day, and we're talking about her book, Getting Started on Getting Well. Of course, she has a number of videos, which we do carry here at Radio Liberty. We carry at least 5 of those, because we think that they're very, very important. You really need to understand that nutrition plays such an important part in your life, and people sort of shrug and say, oh, I know, but... Well, of course, I know, but really doesn't get you any place. You're either going to have to try to do what's right from a nutritional point of view, or, of course, you're laying yourself open to all sorts of problems. So Lorraine was basically telling us about the 10-point program that she has. Could you briefly review that, Lorraine, because, of course, now all of our stations are listening.
All right, nutrition, the proper nutrition, really a vegan diet, fruits, grains, and vegetables in the natural form, exercise, will reduce your risk of cancer, boost your immune system. Water, 10 glasses a day minimum, to stay even with the losses that occur in your body just from the processes of daily living. Sunlight, an article in the Medical Journal Cancer Research says as the amount of available sunlight increases, the incidence of internal cancers decrease. There are 50% less malignant cancer growths develop when experimental animals are given sunlight treatments. Okay? So sunlight is not the cause of skin cancer, and sunlight actually reduces the size of internal cancerous tumors. And so then we have temperance, elimination of the harmful substances in your diet, such as alcohol, smoking, sugar, sugar substitutes like NutraSweet, MSG, all the fillers in processed food, the artificial dyes and things like that, all of those things have to go. And then fresh air. Outdoor air contains negatively charged ions, which you need for your health. Cancerous tumors grow twice as fast if you're breathing indoor air as if you're breathing outdoor air. And then you have to have proper rest at the proper time of night. Not only is that important for your body to heal from cancer, but it has been shown that long hours and scant sleep are also linked to heart attacks and disease, all kinds of diseases, as well as aging. And then the next one is learning to decrease your stress. I was an agnostic for virtually all of my adult life. I became a Christian and learned to trust God because God is the healer. And only through giving your problems to the Lord can you really reduce your stress. It's been found that psychological stress, such as anger, triples the risk of death in heart patients. And anger causes irregular heartbeats. All of these things have to go. You cannot get well if you're holding grudges. You have to learn how to get rid of your anger. And that's one of the steps of the plan, too, and that is an attitude of gratitude. You've got to be thankful for what you've got. Benevolence, you've got to get outside of yourself and start caring about other people. And when these things happen, actually your cells change. And this is the way you get well. Forgiveness, it has been found, boosts health. An article in the Journal of Adult Development in 2001 shows that persons who forgive experience significant physical and mental health benefits. So these are the kinds of things that people need to do to get well. So this is what I did, and I am totally well and cancer free, and it's been 12 years since my cancer first appeared. For those of you who have not seen how sick I was, I had a tumor that was the size of a softball, and it was on my chest. It was breast cancer, biopsied at both Loma Linda University and Scripps Hospital, and at one point I was sent home to die. And I am totally well and cancer-free, and anybody can do it. This is not a miracle in the sense of what most people think is a miracle. I followed a very strict regimen. It took me 18 months to get well. The cancer went away slowly, one day at a time. It took 8 months for the cancer to go away and another 10 months for me to regain my health. Now I'm well. And in this workbook, I have 17 pages full of articles from the medical literature showing why the plan works. And then near the end of the book, I start getting specific about what people have to do. Plus, I have frequently asked questions, many, many pages of questions people have asked me. So if there are any questions about what's in the video, they should go to the frequently asked questions section. You will find the answer to your question.
All right, and of course, you've got really an awful lot of good material in here on vaccinations. A lot of good material, certainly, on the dangers of fluoridation. One of the things I was so interested in, soy. We're told, soy is such a wonderful, wonderful source of protein. What's the truth about the soy and soy products?
Well, first of all, soy for years was actually considered a waste product. In other words, it wasn't really considered a food. But many of the mega corporations, like Archer's Daniel Midland and all those, started to produce soy, and they have put hundreds of millions of dollars into advertising it to the public to make them think that this is a good product to eat. In fact, 1 year they spent $4.7 million for soy product advertising on Meet the Press and $4.3 million on Face the Nation just for soy products on those two shows. So you can see there is a tremendous attempt to get people to want to eat soy. They tell you how there are so many benefits for people. It will help prevent breast cancer, but this is not true. There are certain components of soy, including phytates, that that have some antioxidant activity, but there are significant harmful side effects because there's a phytic acid in soy which is very detrimental to the body, and there are enzymes in soy that inhibit the enzymes in your body. There are chemicals in soy that inhibit the enzymes in your body, and they aren't even eliminated by cooking. So soy clearly has a downside. It contains hemagglutinin, which is a clot-promoting substance that causes red blood cells to clump together. So if you're eating a lot of soy and you have problems with blood clotting, certainly you want to stop eating the soy. Japanese researchers reported that consumption of as little as 30 grams or 2 tablespoons of soybeans per day for only 1 month can result in hypothyroidism. And people all across America are suffering from hypothyroidism. They have constipation, fatigue, and lethargy, and their doctors put them on thyroid, and sometimes that makes them tremulous and anxious, and all they have to do is start eating right, eliminate the soy in the diet. Also, they want to eliminate the fluoride because all of these things contribute to hypothyroidism.
And I think it's so important that people understand that we are surrounded by fluoride. Not only are they fluoridating our water, they're spraying it on our various products. They're adding it to into our cornflakes, or they put it in our drinks. And fluoride produces hypothyroidism. I think this is one major reason for this almost epidemic of hypothyroidism.
Right.
And the average individual has no idea, really, that terrible, terrible effects of fluoride. I was just reading about the Gulf War syndrome, so much of it related to release of sarin gas there, accidentally or intentionally, doesn't matter. The government lied to us for almost 2 years about the sarin gas, and of course, what is sarin? But it's a fluoridated compound.
Right.
And of course, people don't understand that fluoride compounds, that's the active ingredient in Prozac and Luvox and so many of these mind-altering drugs. They want to put it in our drinking water?
That's right. Well, it's mass medication, plus it decreases fertility. If people are having problems having children, you want to get the fluoride out of your water. It causes brittle bones. It can cause depression. Plus, it is one of the ingredients in the anesthetics that are used for patients in the operating room to put them to sleep. And so if you want to stay alert and have your brain function properly, you want to get the fluoride out of the water, and the fluoride out of all of the things that are used when they put water in the canned goods and things like that. They're using fluoridated water, so you're getting triple doses.
In fact, Dr. Blaylock, who I know you know, was telling me that his daughters love to drink, I think it was Minute Maid orange juice, one of the large orange juice producers, but he actually called the plant and asked them where they got the water. Well, of course, this is made from a concentrate, and they simply added fluoridated water to it.
Right.
And as he said, well, I'm sorry, you may like it, but you're not going to drink it.
That's right.
People do not understand this has a direct impact on the brain.
That's right.
And it doesn't do any good as far as the children's dental fluoride is concerned.
No, that's right. And yet they have conned the public into thinking, oh, we want this. And so people are actually paying to destroy their health. They're paying for it. And then, of course, we've got the dangers of microwave ovens. Everybody's using microwave ovens. And some people love them so much that you'd have a hard time. I think they give away their firstborn son before they give away their microwave oven.
Can you explain to our listeners why the microwave oven is bad? I mean, it's so convenient. Just put your hot dog in there, and, you know, in a minute it's hot, and the bun is soft, and this is really the greatest thing in the world. But what's wrong with microwave ovens?
Well, there are many, many things.
I think we just lost our guest. I'm going to ask our producer to give Dr. Day a call back again. We had a little problem there. But anyway, of course, there's a section. Andy Moreland, Dr. Moreland, are you there? Could you please put the call in to our guest? We seem to have lost temporarily. Anyway, we'll get Dr. Moreland back on the line in just a moment, I'm sure. Oh, well, let's find out what's going on here. Uh-oh.
Did you hit something, Stan?
Yes, I did. Well, we'll go ahead and... Okay, we seem to have a little problem as far as our electronics is. So it's going to be just me for the time being, I guess, until we get through this program. But right now, we happen to have lost Dr. Day. Microwave ovens, of course, send a radio wave into the food. And it causes a vibration within the molecules of the food up to a billion times a minute. A billion times a minute. It can actually change the construction of food and food products, and it actually changes the molecular structure. It can actually convert them into carcinogens. It really is a terrible, a tragic situation that most people have no idea that microwaves can be dangerous. Now, there have been actually books written on this very, very subject, but the great tragedy is that the people who write these books are not able to get them circulated because tremendous sums of money are put out to suppress the truth from the American people. This has been done as far as the fluoride is concerned. I've talked to Dr. Limebach, who is a professor, associate professor, up at the University of Toronto, who's written extensively about water fluoridation. He used to support water fluoridation. He's in charge of the Department of Preventive Health at the University of Toronto, and he advocated water fluoridation until he actually had actually checked the scientific studies, changed his position, wrote about it, came out publicly against water fluoridation. You know what happened to him? Well, as he told me, I was threatened. I was told I would lose my position. He said, I can't risk my family. I can't risk my profession, you know, simply to come out and tell people that water fluoridation is bad. So people are threatened. Their lives, their professions are destroyed. Dr. Phyllis Mullinex, who had done a lot of very, very basic work as far as the effect of fluorides on the human brain, and she had actually, of course, her studies have been done on animals, but she showed that there is a definite lack of if you give fluorides to rats when they're pregnant, why the children will be hyperactive, or the rat children when they're born, they'll be hyperactive the rest of their lives. If you give the fluoridated water to newborn rats, the male rats become couch potatoes and they just never do anything. They just sort of sit around and of course are totally inactive. And this is the great problem. The average individual has no idea, really, of the terrible, terrible, deleterious effects of water fluoridation. Dr. Mullinex was told not to publish her findings. She did publish them, and of course she was immediately fired from her people who were employing her. Why? Because there's a coordinated effort all across America to conceal the truth about so much of what's going on today. I mean, actually, fluorides are the... as we mentioned earlier, they're the active ingredient in the anesthetics that you use when you go to the hospital. So many of them are fluoridated compounds. In fact, two of my anesthesiologists who worked with me for many years used to give halothol and these other fluoridated products. Both of them recently died within the last couple of years of cancer of the pancreas, because fluorides are carcinogenic and a marked increase in a number of different types of cancers associated with water fluoridation. The studies that have been done show that in areas where they have fluoridated water, there's a marked increase in the incidence of overall incidence of cancer in those communities. There was a 10-year study that was authorized by the government and in the rats, and it showed unequivocally that there was a marked increase in cancer in the rats. Well, they couldn't let the American people know that, so they just convened a special committee, and they changed what the report said from a direct relationship between water fluoridation and cancer to, well, we really don't find any specific relationship. There was a man, his name was William Marcus, and William Marcus was the chief scientist for the Department of Drinking Water for Public Health Service, and he worked at the EPA. He objected to the fact that they had actually altered the situation, and what happened, why he was immediately fired. So what they do is, of course, and this is, incidentally, if any of you doubt this is what happened, we have Dr. Hersey's testimony before a Senate subcommittee where he told the story that I'm telling right now. The average individual has no idea of the degree that they would go to silence people, to threaten them, to keep the American people from knowing the truth about what's going on. We're going to be back here in just a moment. And, of course, hopefully we'll get situations straightened out before long. This is Dr. Stan here, and right now, of course, we're our special guest this evening. We're hoping to get right back on. Hopefully, she'll be with us very, very shortly. But right now, we're in the process of trying to get things straightened out here. Anyway, we've been basically talking about the effect of water fluoridation. Do you realize, of course, that the fluoride has been known for many, many years to be very effective in controlling the will of individuals? In fact, this is why the British fluoridated the water in Northern Ireland. They did only fluoridate a very small amount of the water, certainly in Great Britain. Only 11% of water is fluoridated in Great Britain. It is certainly very much fluoridated in Northern Ireland. Why? Because, of course, the Northern Irish were in revolt against the British. And this, unfortunately, is the way the system really does work. And, of course, all of Europe is not fluoridated. They have just as good dental health over there as we do, except they don't have the fluorosis that our children do. Why? Well, of course, we give them fluoridated water, and then we give them fluoride tablets, and then we give them all this food that is contaminated with it, and they reinforce the Wheaties, the cornflakes, and all of the drinks, and we're getting toxic doses of fluoride that is damaging the health of children all across America. And, of course, this is being totally suppressed by the controlled media. Anybody who talks about this is immediately attacked as being, they think this is a communist conspiracy. Well, I will tell you, every communist supports water fluoridation, that this is not the program of the communists. This is the program of the establishment that created communism, has financed communism since its inception. And if you doubt that, you really need to get the book we carry. We kept it in print for many years, called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. Going into the background, how the Great Tax-Exempt Foundation financed communism and socialism all during the 20th century. Now, the book was published in 1958, but this covers the 20th century up till 1958. And communism and socialism were financed by the establishment. Why? Well, very, very simply. They were, of course, needed an enemy, and of course the communists were such a wonderful enemy, and then anything that the establishment wanted to do, they would ascribe to the communists, and then they would discredit anybody who talked about the communist threat. Communism is a smokescreen behind which the establishment has been able to carry out their programs here in the United States and throughout the world. You had to have an enemy to rally the people behind the government, so that they would be willing to, of course, go along with the programs, would be willing to put together a massive military, so that the United States spends, we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and it's a terrible evening. We've had nothing but problems, but hopefully we'll have Dr. Lorraine Day, and we can wrap up this evening's program, at least the first hour, and then the second hour will go much, much easier. But we simply were saying that the establishment, the people who really run things behind the scenes, the things that are people are concealing, the terrible deleterious effects of water fluoridation and of aspartame and of mercury and the other poisons that, of course, we are being afflicted with. Why? They, of course, financed communism and socialism. Why? Why? They were a very convenient enemy. You have to get two sides. You have to have certainly a left and a right, a conservative, a liberal, a Republicans and Democrats, so they can fight back and forth between themselves. And of course, this is the old Hegelian concept of a thesis and antithesis coming to a new synthesis. And we're all being manipulated, but tragically, of course, as we keep our attention focused on the danger of communism and the ridiculousness of communism, anybody who talks about water fluoridation obviously believes it's a communist plot. How ridiculous. And yet, of course, communism is being used to undermine the health of our children and the health of our population. Lorraine, we finally got you back again. So if you'll just hang on, we're going to wrap up this hour, and then hopefully everything will go well for the next hour.
All right,
this is the time when I have to remind our listeners there that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. Lorraine, we're going to lose some of our listeners. Would you like to get your telephone number and your website out before we lose them?
You can go to www.drday.com, drday.com, drday.com, and click on radio on the home page, and then that will take you to my website. Or you can call 1-800-574-2437. That's 1-800-574-2437.
All right, fine. You'll find some fascinating things there on Lorraine's websites. Now, we do carry five of her videos just because we think they're so vitally important. And then we have, of course, a four-tape set on water fluoridation. We carry a book, which I'm sure Lorraine has read, and it's written by Dr. Russell Blaylock. It's called Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. A great, great book. It's got great information in it. I know my wife keeps one certainly in her office and refers to it frequently, because what they've done is they've disguised all sorts of food additives and things that are really toxic, and they give them false names. So when you go down to the grocery store and you start buying things, you don't know what they mean when they say natural flavoring, in your products, or you don't know the significance of the various things they talk about. They will cover up the aspartame and NutraSweet and MSG with all sorts of false names for one reason, and that's to confuse you. But Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, a great book. And then we have a four-tape set with Dr. Russell Blaylock, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. So if you'd like to, of course, to get the information, our telephone number for Radio Liberty, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and we recommend Dr. Day's videos. If you have cancer, you have a friend that has cancer, you really need to know that there are other alternatives than what you are being told. Now, you have to understand that I think the average doctor out there really wants to try to help you, but he has never been allowed to hear most of the things you're going to hear here on Radio Liberty. He doesn't know the relationship between, for instance, water fluoridation and the increase in cancer, the relationship between soy products and cancer, the relationship between fluoride and cancer, the relationship between NutraSweet and cancer. He doesn't have any idea, because these things are never talked about in the meetings he attends, never mentioned at all in the journals that he reads. Why? Why? Because the meetings are financed by the drug companies, the journals are financed by the drug companies, and of course you wouldn't think that the journals would want to publish anything that would be offensive to the drug companies. We're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Dr. Lorraine Day. And, of course, you can listen to the rest of the program at radioliberty.com. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and, well, our special guest this evening is Dr. Lorraine Day, and hopefully we're going to get through this next hour without any more catastrophes. And, of course, our telephone numbers, if you'd like to call us, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Dr. Lorraine Day was for many years the chief of orthopedics at San Francisco General Hospital. And really, of course, she was on her way to becoming a professor of orthopedics at some major university, if not at the University of California. And then, of course, she dropped out, I guess, about a decade ago and began studying health and the alternative methods of treating cancer. Now, as a physician, I mean, you're taught how you treat cancer. You cut it out. Of course, you burn it out. You radiate it. That's how you treat cancer. But the trouble is that once in a while, people get well on their own. I can remember as a very young doctor, just out of my internship, and helping a surgeon as he operated on this woman. Her whole abdominal cavity was just riddled with metastases, and we knew she was going to die. And, you know, and so I felt so terrible, and I told her husband she was going to die, and we sent her home to die. And about 6 months later, I ran into the husband, asked his wife was, and she was fine. And, well, you know, I thought she'd be dead. No, she's doing just fine. She'd recovered from her cancer. Now, how could that possibly be? Well, of course, this was one of the first inklings that I had that maybe we didn't have all the answers. Maybe there were things we were never taught in medical school that did influence the course of cancer. And I'm not suggesting that if you simply have a cancer and you do nothing, you're going to get well, because I don't think that's true at all. But Lorraine has done a lot of extensive study on this. She's come up with things that the average doctor doesn't know, the relationship between meat and meat products and cancer, the relationship between milk and cancer, milk and milk products and cancer. And these things are well known in the literature, but in the nutritional literature, and these are things that nobody ever tells the doctors. There are certain fruits and vegetables that will protect you against cancer. There are certain products that we eat every day that will promote cancer. So you pick the story up from there, Lorraine.
Well, that's right. And, you know, the reason that we doctors do not learn about this in medical school is because the pharmaceutical companies control much of what is taught in medical schools, because they provide most of the funding for the research for the professors at medical schools. And the research is really oriented to finding more drugs. So nobody learns how to solve the problems that cause disease. They only are tuned to finding another drug to give a new and better drug, supposedly. But all drugs have side effects. And this whole idea of, well, the benefits outweigh the risks, the plan I used to get well has no risks at all. It is just good food and sunlight and water and rest and various things like that, like I talked about the last hour. Those things are free, and there is no downside. And everybody can do them. They're available to everybody. So the idea that drugs are necessary is something that we are indoctrinated with in medicine. And I only found out about it when I left San Francisco General and the University of California. I left because I had so many invitations to speak all over the world about the AIDS epidemic and I had been operating night and day for 20 years, and it was time to rotate the troops. And so it was during that period of time when I was speaking out about the AIDS issue that I found out I had cancer. Fortunately, good people out there in radio land that had heard me speak out about AIDS wrote to me and said, "You think there's a cover-up in AIDS? You ought to see the cover-up in cancer cures."
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Right. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Dr. Lorraine Day. And, of course, the idea that there would be a cover-up of cancer occurs why that sounds so ridiculous to the average doctor. The average doctor would do anything in the world, I believe, the vast majority of them, to help their patients. The idea that anybody would be covering up treatments for cancer, well, that sounds like sort of a conspiracy theory. And yet, of course, as you get into this further and further, you realize there really is an intentional cover-up of the truth. So you pick up the story there, Lorraine.
Well, that's right. There is an intentional cover-up of the truth because cancer is big business. It's a multi-billion dollar business. Pharmaceutical industry is one of the biggest money makers in the world. So whenever you have that much money at stake, there's always infighting and there's always a plan to destroy those who are trying to show people how to get well by natural methods that are virtually free. So we have a lot of evidence in the medical literature showing that there is a very strong association between animal products, including milk, eggs, meat, poultry, and fish, between those things that people eat and cancer as well as other diseases. Osteoporosis is made far worse by drinking milk. And the doctors will tell you, oh, you need to drink milk. And the milk and dairy industry will tell you, you need to eat milk and milk products. No, that's the thing that causes osteoporosis. And there is a very strong relationship with milk drinking and cancer and leukemia and things like that. As I said, in my workbook called Getting Started on Getting Well, I have 17 pages of abstracts from articles from the finest medical journals, including the Journal of the American Medical Association, Surgeon General's Report, Journal of the American Cancer Society. All of these show that you are far better off eating a vegetarian diet, which will help prevent cancer and many other diseases. Cancer is associated with fat consumption, and there is lots of fat in animal products. When you eat eggs, the yolk of an egg is virtually 100% fat. And when you eat meat, the more fat that's marbled into the meat, the more delicious it tastes, and so people want that. And that is very bad for people. Of course, milk and dairy are large contributors to allergies, asthma, migraine, headaches. Dr. Max Gerson, who is...
Hold that thought for just a moment. We've got to bring our other stations right back on right about now. Okay, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. Lorraine Day, and of course she's talking about, of course, the disadvantage of so many of the dairy products and meat and dairy products, which we are, they make up such a large part of our diet, but of course, what nobody's going to tell you that there are definite carcinogenic materials in many of these products, which is one reason why the incidence of cancer is increasing so much. Pick up the story, Lorraine.
Well, that's right. If you're eating meat, poultry, and fish, dairy, and eggs, all of these are very damaging to your body. And now people are going on high protein diets when they already eat too much protein. High protein diets can cause heart disease, contribute to cancer. They can cause kidney damage. And so people are killing themselves by eating these high-protein diets, diets like the Atkins diet. Yes, you can lose weight on them. The reason you do is because it takes a lot of water out of your body to digest all this animal protein, and so you dehydrate your body, and that's one way you lose weight, which is a very bad way to lose weight. And the other way is you make your body sick. You actually become sick. You go into ketosis, which is a pathologic condition. When you come into the emergency room and you have ketosis, we treat it as a medical emergency. So everybody is throwing their body into illness, and then, of course, they're losing weight because they're actually sick. You don't need to eat animal products in order to get your protein. In fact, in my workbook called Getting Started on Getting Well, I have a whole page full of the protein content of vegetables. Spinach is 49% protein. Lemons are 16% protein. There is plenty of protein in vegetables, fruits, and grains. You don't need to ever have any animal products in order to get your protein.
But, of course, people don't understand that at all, because they never wonder how the cows get their protein.
Right.
And, of course, we get them from eating. We get a lot of protein from eating meat. But the problem is the cow, what does he eat? Well, he eats grass.
Right. And one of the reasons that we have mad cow disease today is cows are meant to be vegetarians. And what the industry is doing is they're grinding up dead animals, other sheep and other cows. They're making them into what they call protein pellets, and they're feeding it to cows. So cows that are meant to be vegetarians are actually being fed meat. And that's one reason that cows are getting sick. So when we feed, we have the intestine, the same kind of long coiled intestine as a cow, a deer, and those animals that are meant to eat vegetable products and not animal products. And when we eat meat, we cause problems in our body too. It contributes to illness.
Well, now, of course, we hear a lot about mad cow disease, you know, and we're told we just don't have it here. We've had one case, you know, and that, of course, we don't even know what happened to a lot of the body parts of that one cow. All we have is the head of it. I remember going to a meeting when there was an official working for the government, and I asked why it was that there was such an objection to by one of the companies that wanted to test every cow to see if it had mad cow disease. The Japanese said they wouldn't import the meat unless, of course, the cows were all tested. And our government said, you can't test every cow. What's wrong? We just want to test our cow. You can't do that. Oh, no, we can't allow you to do that. So I asked this official. I said, well, now, why aren't you testing all the cows? Oh, well, we might get false positives.
Right.
Well, what did that sort of got me back to the justification for why
right.
we didn't try to stop the AIDS epidemic.
That's
why,
exactly
If we tested everybody, we might get false positives, so we don't want to test anybody. Or we want to discourage as much testing as we can. And so it almost seems that they're putting off doing anything or addressing the problem. Do you really think there's a problem with mad cow disease here in the United States?
Oh, yes, there is a terrible problem in mad cow disease in the United States. Even Stan Prusner, who's a friend of mine who won the Nobel Prize for discovering the prion, which is the infective organism in mad cow disease, he has said that there is mad cow disease in this country. And certainly we know that there is. When they start talking about one, actually, the way they're leaking out the information, Stan, is exactly the way they did it with AIDS. At first, you know, they said, oh, no, AIDS is not a problem, and then there were a few cases here, and then a few cases there, and then they say, oh, no, it's not transmitted by blood, and then a few months later, oh, yes, it is transmitted by blood, but you have to get a lot of blood for you to get the disease, and then later on, well, drug addicts are getting it from a small amount of blood in the needle, but well, they can get it, but healthcare workers can't get it because there's not enough blood in the needles that healthcare workers, you know, it's that sort of thing. And they're doing exactly the same thing with mad cow disease.
So like deja vu all over again.
That's right. Absolutely. This is exactly what they're doing. I happen to know, personally, she's dead now, a wife of an orthopedic surgeon in San Francisco who died of mad cow disease 4 years ago.
This is Crutchfield Jacobs disease?
Yes.
Okay.
She died of mad cow disease. She went very, very rapidly. She, I was shocked because I went up there to a meeting and I saw the doctor and I said, you know, I mean, he was at the meeting and these were close friends of mine when I was in San Francisco and I said, where's your wife? And he says, didn't you hear? And I said, no. And he told me how she went. She had mad cow disease. She, within about 2 years from the time she got sick, and she was in her early 50s, and she started stumbling around, and she lost her mind, and she died.
Did they do an autopsy on her?
Nope. They called it early rapid Alzheimer's. But when I questioned him about the course of the disease, it was clear it was mad cow.
I mean, the Alzheimer's disease doesn't go that rapidly.
No, but, I mean, see, what they're doing is they will just take mad cow disease and call it rapid early Alzheimer's. But that's not what it is.
Well, the thing is that I have a feeling there's a very definite cover-up they keep talking about. Well, we're going to test 250,000 cows. Why not test every cow? Because they are afraid. I think they're really afraid as far as the impact on the meat industry.
Oh, of course they are. And besides, as you and I know, the plan is to kill off a whole lot of people. So why not kill them off expensively and in a horrible way by having them eat these animal products? The people who are producing these, they don't care whether we live or die.
Well, as horrible as it seems, I fear that you're absolutely right. And when you see what's going on in the world today, when you look and see what's going on over in the Middle East, when you see what's going on in Africa, they've killed 3.8 million people in the Congo, we don't even bother to mention that.
No, that's right. This is happening all over the world, and by the way, I think we discussed this a little bit last week.
This is an entirely different audience, so don't be afraid to pick up and be repetitive. So,
all right. I'm going to soon put up on one of my websites, the website goodnewsaboutgod.com, what's happening right as we speak is the merging of the United States with Canada and Mexico. In fact, in the New York Times in 2001, they had a book review of a book entitled The Biography of the New American Continent, where it talks about the merging of Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. Recently, George Bush has talked about annexing Canada and making it the 51st state, and also, and of course, oh, people think that's wonderful. They don't have any idea what they're getting into. And he's also talked about combining the military of the U.S. and Canada. Well, they went to a meeting they called the Summit of Americas in 2001, and they planned on doing this, and it said that the timetable is that they would begin the final merger in January of 2005, and it would be completed by December of 2005. That is 1 year from now.
And, of course, this is the reason why they're refusing to do anything to close the border with Mexico.
That's right.
And, of course, they really do intend to do away with America's national sovereignty. They intend to merge our economy with the prosperous economy of Mexico and raise our living standards to that of the Mexican peasant.
Right.
And the average American says, that couldn't be going on. Why, that's just totally ridiculous. And yet, look and see what's going on in the world today, and tell me that most of the things that are going on really don't make any sense.
Well, not only that, the new Attorney General, Gonzalez, who's been an advisor to Bush,
right,
is the architect of the allowing of torture of the Iraqis and the torture in Guantanamo Bay. Not only that, he is a member of La Raza. La Raza is a very aggressive group that plans to take over. They're militant, and they plan to take over southwestern United States for Mexico. And he is a member of that. So the stage is set. The border between the U.S. and Mexico has been open for a long period of time. They have just been encouraging illegal immigration all over the place. While George Bush and others keep saying, oh, no, we're going to get this under control. No, their plan is to encourage it, because they want to bring the third world country status of Mexico into America, and they want to bring the human rights tribunals that are oppressive in Canada also into America, where truth is no defense in the human rights tribunal.
And of course, if we merge with Canada, do you really think they're going to take our laws, or are we going to take theirs?
Well, we're going to take world laws, certainly.
We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest this evening is Dr. Lorraine Day, formerly Associate Professor of Orthopedics at the University of California. And she was, of course, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at San Francisco General Hospital for many years, and now, of course, she has a new profession. And is this as exciting as orthopedic surgery?
Yes, it is. In fact, in a way, it's, you know, I did a lot of orthopedics for a lot of years, and I loved it. But there aren't too many people who have survived what was diagnosed as terminal cancer, gotten well by natural methods, and have lived to help other people get well the same way. And I can tell you that's very exciting.
I know it really is, and of course, you really have people all across the country who have watched your videos, who've read your material, who've actually adopted this 10-point program, and many of them really have had dramatic improvements, haven't they?
Oh, yes. There are many, many people who've gotten well, reversed their cancers completely, and not only cancer, but Parkinson's, Lou Gehrig's disease, lupus erythematosus, all kinds of diseases, very serious diseases as well as less serious diseases, you can reverse them. And it's not just across America. People all over the world are buying the videos. Japan, Singapore, Australia, Croatia, every place.
And, of course, you must be doing fairly well because you were recently attacked on nationwide television. So you know you finally arrived. Would you like to tell our listeners that story?
That's right. About 2 weeks ago, CBS News did a hit piece against me, of course, calling me names and suggesting that maybe I had not had cancer, or maybe because I had a portion of the tumor removed for pain relief, that maybe that's why I'm not sick now, even though I was bedridden for 6 months and was not expected at one point to live through the night. And so they try to say that I'm making money off of the misery of others. And a doctor on television said as much, and he's an oncologist who can get as much as $2,000 for one single chemotherapy treatment. My videos cost $19.95. And you see, if you really followed the information on a single video, you could be well from all diseases for the rest of your life. And so, you know, the Socrates, I think it was, who said, when you can't deal with the issues, then you must resort to slander. And so that's what they were doing, and I guess that's the good news, that they felt it necessary. I know that the questions they were trying to ask me had come directly from a person who is a hitman for the pharmaceutical associations.
That's the old idea, that I think that if you don't like the message, why you attack the messenger.
That's right.
And this is the technique they use, ridicule. They accuse you of making a lot of money. They remember that what they did. A lot of people years ago who were recommending Laetril, they were attacking Laetril not because it didn't work, because in some instances it did,
yeah.
But of course because it did work, and of course they wanted to discredit that. Now, of course, Laetril was simply the doctors who were pushing Laetril, who really had any benefit, also got the people on a very, very strict diet. That was the first thing they did. And they'd get them on the diet before they'd give them the Laetril. So, you know, I think that that played certainly a large part in it, but it's
sure.
An old technique. We'll be right back here. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest is Dr. Lorraine Day. If you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you. I'd love to get your thoughts if you have any questions for Dr. Day. She is certainly one of the most knowledgeable people in the country on nutrition and, of course, ways that you can actually improve your health. What is so revolutionary about her ideas is really not revolutionary at all, but it's the fact that the body has wonderful reparative capacity on its own. And if you have a cancer, the most important thing you can do is build up your immune system, because your body can certainly take care of a great deal of the cancer simply by attacking it with your own cells. But, of course, if you, of course, take chemotherapy, chemotherapy and radiation. What does that do to your immune system? And why don't you pick up and sort of explore those ideas, Lorraine?
Well, chemotherapy and radiation both cause cancer. Every doctor knows that. They both cause cancer, and they both suppress your immune system. In fact, before you're going to have a donor organ, you have to be on what they doctors call immunosuppressive therapy. What that really is chemotherapy, because they have to really destroy your immune system so you won't reject an organ that comes from another person. This is very destructive. And yet when you are sick with cancer, what they do is they destroy what's left of your immune system by giving you chemotherapy and radiation. Yes, they do decrease the size of the tumor, but at great expense, because the tumor will always come back. The tumor will always come back. Only if you have enough immune system left after you have had the chemo or radiation will you survive. And there are some people that do have enough immune system left and they survive. But they're always terrified every year or 6 months when they go to the doctor wondering if their cancer will return. I don't have any of that fear, because I reversed my cancer by stopping doing the things that were causing my cancer. The body is meant to heal. If you cut your hand, that hand will heal. That cut will heal unless you do something dramatic to stop it from healing. Either if you pick it open every day or you put dirt in it so it will get infected. Otherwise, that wound will heal. Your body will heal if you stop doing harmful things to it and you start doing the things that will make it well. And that's all I did. I stopped the harmful things, like the bad food, like staying up all night operating. I stopped coffee. I stopped candy and sugar and all those things. And I started eating good food. I started going to bed by 9:30 every night, sometimes 9 o'clock. I started drinking lots of water. I started learning how to handle my stress. I started forgiving all those who had ever wronged me. And guess what? It changes your cell structure. Many studies have shown that people who harbor grudges or are angry with others cannot get well from any serious disease. Those things sound simple, but those are the things that work. You see, if you take drugs for your cancer or take radiation, it will never work permanently, because cancer is not caused by a deficiency of chemotherapy and radiation. In order to reverse your cancer or any disease, you have to find out what's causing it. Otherwise, you're only treating the symptoms. In order to really get well, you have to go to the underlying cause of the problem. Drugs, including chemotherapy and certainly radiation, only treat symptoms, and they do terrible damage to your body.
Well, I think that it's so important that people really understand that good health is the best approach that we have to treating any disease, but specifically treating cancer. Of course, years ago, we used to know that, you could help people with tuberculosis simply by getting them out and, into a sanitarium where they could breathe fresh air, where they could relax, where they get away from all the stresses and strains. And this was before we had adequate drugs for tuberculosis. And some people were able to get enough immune response, and they were able to take care of their tuberculosis. And, of course, then, miraculously, we came along with drugs. So we gave up the idea of putting people in sanitariums yet well, and we simply put them on the drugs, which really were miraculous as far as that was concerned. But I think we forgot a lot of what we'd learned previously about how to, of course, get the body organized and get the body certainly into a situation where it could begin to treat disease on its own. Well, we're going to be having to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll welcome your calls out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. This is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Oh, This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Dr. Lorraine Day, and, of course, our guest, this caller right now, is Herman, calling from Carmel. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Very good. Another wonderful program. Good evening, Dr. Day.
Hello.
I have a couple of questions. I have a residential care home for the elderly, and sometimes we supplement our regular nutrition with protein shakes that the residents really enjoy, and we put bananas and some barley green and milk and other things in there, even the Kretschmer wheat germ, but and also oatmeal. But I wanted to ask you about the soy protein, because most of the protein powders out there, like one of them here I have is Balance Meal Replacement, a vanilla flavor, and it's made with a protein blend soy isolate. Another one is called Designer Whey, which is made from the whey product. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. And the other one is called a rice protein, which is a vegan product.
All right. How would you respond?
Well, first of all, your residents do not need more protein. They mm-hmm. get plenty of protein in what you're feeding them. I don't care what you're feeding them. If you're feeding them anything that has any nutrition in it, they're getting enough protein.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to give them more. You can make a delicious drink for them, like a smoothie,
mm-hmm.
without adding all these protein powders. They don't need that. That will contribute to cancer. It will contribute to Alzheimer's. It will contribute to kidney failure. They don't need more protein. So I would suggest that you add the other things together, but don't put the protein powder in. It'll taste just as good.
Now, what about that rice, the material?
You don't need protein.
Okay, fine.
You don't need protein. The average American eats four times more protein than they need, and that's one thing that's causing all the disease. If you want to help lengthen their life,
mm-hmm.
then don't give them the protein.
Well, I noticed in your book you mentioned something about rice milk.
Rice milk is fine. If people want to have milk, they can have rice milk. You could put a little rice milk in it if you want, but that's, again, not a high-protein thing if you're just using a small amount. I do not promote soy milk at all because of the soy problem, but rice milk would be fine to help dilute some of the things as you're blending them in the blender. But you don't need to add protein powders.
In fact, Lorraine has a section of this book that we're talking about, Getting Started on Getting Well, where she has all these various menus, all these various recipes.
Mm-hmm.
Hold this for just a moment here. We'll bring the rest of our stay. There we are, Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Lorraine Day. And, of course, if you're out there across America, give us a call at 1-888-24 Liberty, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. We have Herman on with us, and Herman has a residential care home. He was asking about what he's been giving, these supplements with soy and powder and protein powder, these supplements to the people. And, of course, Dr. Day is saying, do not give them more protein. But certainly, you can make them smoothies, you can use fruits and vegetables. But don't add the soy to it, and certainly don't add these protein powders. That is not what they need, she was recommending. If you want to put a little rice milk in, that's fine, but try to stay away pretty much from the animal milk. Is that right?
Well, that's right. Stay away from the animal milk, and another reason you don't want protein in there is because the more protein you give them, the more osteoporosis they will develop.
Now, that just seems to be just the opposite from what everybody thinks.
That's correct. It's the opposite of what the doctors and the media will tell you. But that has been known, that milk and dairy products and animal products, poultry, fish, and meat, those kinds of things actually cause acid in the blood when you eat them. And the body has to neutralize the acid, and it does so by pulling the calcium out of the bones. In my workbook called Getting Started on Getting Well, I have the reference for that. It has been known for 70 years. 70 years, 1930, it was first established in the medical literature that all of these animal products actually cause osteoporosis. So you don't want to give them protein.
Now, what about the garden burgers that are for sale?
Well, again, you see, the garden burgers, again, that's going to be part of their food. That's not too bad. They can have a little bit of protein, but what you're doing with the smoothie doesn't need to have protein powder. It'll taste just as good without it. And so that's what you want to do. But you can have them have some garden burgers. Again, they will get some protein in their food, and if they're made out of vegetables, that's okay. And so that's fine, and that unless they're made out of soy, I would stay away from soy because, but many of them do not have soy in them, so you have to just take a look at the kind you're feeding them.
Anything else, Herman?
Well, could you give me a number where this book, because I tuned in late,
yes.
Where this could be obtained?
Right. Call 1-800-574-2437. That's 1-800-574-2437. The workbook is called Getting Started on Getting Well. There are over 100 recipes and 2 weeks full of menus. Over 100 recipes and all these menus in the back of the book. They're all vegan. They're specifically directed towards people getting well from serious disease because they are very low in protein, and that's what you need. Somebody who is well can have a little bit more protein than is in these recipes. If you want to go to my website, you can go to www.drday.com and click on radio on the home page. It'll say, where did you hear about Dr. Day? Click on radio or other.
Mm-hmm. Now, does this book have the spiritual component in it?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. The whole first third of the book is the spiritual component because God clearly is the healer. And he does it through his natural health plan. But most people say, oh, I believe that God can heal me. But they don't believe God will heal them. But you see, there is a specific plan. God always gives a promise. He said that he heals all our diseases in Psalms 103:3. It says he forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. But Christians are dying all over the place. And so you say, well, what's going on? Well, God says that he has a promise for us, but he's the one who gives the process. You see, when he told Noah he would save him from the flood, he didn't say, Noah, just stand there and raise your hands to heaven or get in a prayer line. He didn't say that. He said, Noah, I'm going to save you, but here's how I'm going to save you. I want you to build a boat, but you've got to build it to my specifications, not yours. And so when Noah built the boat according to God's specifications, it did exactly what God told him to do. God saved him through the boat. And so God gives us a promise of healing, and then he says, here's how I want you to do it. I want you to do it only with the things that I have created in their natural form. But what man wants to do is he wants to take it and make it all quote-unquote better. Well, that's when he's really being blasphemous against God, because he says, I can do it better than God. We need to eat food in its natural form. We need to get sunlight. We need to get clear water without fluoride in it. We need to get sleep at the proper time of night. We need to learn to trust God. And people say, oh, I trust God. But then they trot off to man. They go to the doctors, and Jesus said, I am the healer, not them. And people say, well, I know God works through doctors. Well, the whole point is, if you are run over by a truck or if you need some congenital deformity fix, then you need a doctor. But if you are sick, you need to stop doing what has made you sick. And the doctors don't know how to help you do that. So that's how we're going to have to start learning how to take care of ourselves, because, as I said, with this merger between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, the health care is going to be gone, and I guess that's the good news, because you're going to have to learn how to take care of yourself.
Oh, okay, anything else, Herman?
Well, one final question, and that is that it mentions in the New Testament that there is healing available at the table of the Lord, and Jesus, when he hung on the cross, some scholars suggest that God poured out the sicknesses and diseases of the world on him. And they point back to Isaiah 53, by his stripes are we healed, were we healed. And if you have somebody coming back from, let's say, Iraq, and they have uranium poisoning, all the sunshine in the world and the good veggies, I mean, that may take a while to heal you. I mean, Jesus healed people in their state that he found them in, you know, and a lot of people may not have the knowledge that you're going to impart with them.
This is why we put the program on, Herman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's another answer. God is close to everyone. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. All anybody has to do is turn to the Lord. I didn't have anybody really to teach me. I started reading, and I started turning to the Lord. I tried over 40 different types of alternatives, continuing to get worse, until I finally gave up and I turned to the Lord, and the Lord showed me over a period of time his plan, which is totally natural. And so anybody can do it, and anybody can learn how. The Lord says that he will teach us directly if we turn to him. And you say, people coming back from Iraq with uranium poisoning, do you think that's above God's ability to fix it?
No.
Okay, Herman, we're going to have to go. We got a full board, but I'll talk to you a little later.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Lee calling from Coralitas, who's been hanging on here very, very patiently. Hi, Lee. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. I have a question. If we aren't supplementing with protein, how do you treat...
I can't hear her.
All right, fine. Speak up just a little louder, Lee.
Okay, my question is, how do you treat amino acid deficiencies?
Now, what do you mean by amino acid deficiency?
If you have looked at your nutrition and find that you're really low in certain amino acids like taurine and lysine and some of those essential amino acids, it seems like it would make sense to take supplemental protein.
All right,
if you eat a balanced vegan diet, you will get all the amino acids that you need.
For some reason, I'm not, and I'm not sure what to do about it.
Now, you're eating a totally vegan diet?
I was for a while.
Okay. Well, when you say that, you have to eat a broad variety of fruits, grains, and vegetables.
Right.
What were you
I understand
eating?
That, and I do. I eat fruits, grains, vegetables, nuts, occasional dairy and fish.
Dairy and fish is going to take good things out of your body. And if you eat sugar, if you take fluoridated water in, if you are on any drugs of any sort, if you don't get your sleep, all of those will play havoc with your body. You've got to do the whole plan, not just one thing.
Okay?
Seen any of Lorraine's videos or read her book?
Yes, I have, and I've heard her speak in person many times.
Okay.
If you follow the plan, see, we have two alternatives. God says in Deuteronomy 7:11-15, if you follow my laws, those are his health laws, these are the 10 laws, if you follow my laws, my commandments, and my decrees, I will keep you free from every disease. Well, then there are only two options. Either God is not telling the truth, or we're not following the plan. And sometimes when I started out, I did a lot of struggling around trying to figure out what I was supposed to do. But God will lead you in that if you continue to spend time on your knees in Bible study and prayer, and he will lead you into the truth. But if we start, you know, going to here and there and jumping all around, we'll never find out what it is. But God is faithful. He doesn't lie. And he says, I will heal your diseases.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Anything else, Lee?
No, thank you very much.
You. Let's go to Robert calling from Illinois. Hi, Robert. How are you doing? Incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Go ahead, Robert.
Hi, Dr. Stan. I would like to ask Dr. Day, I know he mentioned earlier about soy being involved possibly with blood clots, and I take Coumadin because they have artificial heart valves. And I just wondered, if there's anything else that she thinks would help to minimize the potential of blood clots.
Well, the reason that we get blood clots, primarily, in addition to soy, is that we don't have enough, blood clots, because it gets too thick and it has too much fat in it. That's what really causes blood clots. And so the way we thin our blood, the best way to thin blood, is by drinking enough water, The average person must have 10 glasses of water a day, even when it's not hot. When it's hot, you have to drink even more. Because if you don't have enough water to make enough serum, your blood will be thick. If you eat animal products, you're taking all of that animal fat into your body. That makes your blood sick. So the very best ways to start eliminating blood that clots too readily is to drink plenty of water and eliminate the animal products from your diet. That's the best way to do it.
Okay.
Okay?
I just had one other question just about what would you recommend for, like, toothpaste?
Well, the toothpaste that I recommend is a toothpaste without fluoride. One of them that's available, at least in California and many other states, is Tom's toothpaste, T-O-M, Tom's toothpaste. But they make two different kinds. They make it with fluoride, and they make it without fluoride, with propolis and myrrh. So you have to look at the label and make sure you get it without fluoride.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Oh, Lorraine?
Yes.
How do you address the problem of vaccines?
Oh, well, vaccines are neither safe nor effective. And so if there was a question, I was someplace else. In other words, I couldn't hear anything. So I was, my key was turned off.
Don't feel bad. It was my microphone that was turned off. So.
Okay. Vaccines are neither safe nor effective. They have all sorts of things in them, including mercury and formaldehyde that cause damage. They're responsible for the majority of autism and sudden infant death syndrome, and they do not work. They do not work. In my workbook, I have a whole section on vaccinations and help show you where you can go for information to get waivers so you don't have to have your children vaccinated. The point is that they have never worked. It is a propaganda campaign to tell the public that they do work, because it is an absolute unending supply of money for the pharmaceutical companies to give vaccinations to all these children and now adults. And they're looking for new vaccinations every day to try to give people. The average child in California, by the time they go to school, has received 33 vaccinations. These are poison.
All right, let's go to John, who's calling from upstate New York, and if our producer will just actually scan him through, while we'll be talking to John from upstate. Nope, we lost John in upstate New York, so I guess we won't be talking to John under any circumstances. You know, of course, then how do you approach the person who says, but look, we've just about done away with polio. We just don't see polio here in the United States, and certainly in most of Africa. The incidence of polio has dropped to almost nothing after the vaccination. Is there any benefit at all from certain of the vaccines, at least? Of course, I'm point out, of course, with the polio vaccine, we also infected the entire population with the simian virus 40, and then with cytomegalic viruses, because, of course, they gave us these vaccines that had been grown in the culture, first of the rhesus monkey, and then of the a green monkey, and we got all of the monkey viruses along with, of course, the polio. But how would you answer the person who said, look, we just don't see polio now the way we used to?
Well, that's right. But what you have to understand is the incidence of polio had dropped to almost nothing before the introduction of the two vaccines, the Salk and the Sabin vaccine, which were introduced just a couple of years apart. And by that time, the incidence had dropped dramatically from its original incidence because of better sanitation and, at the time, better nutrition. So it had dropped because of those things. When the vaccines were introduced, both of them, the slope of the curve did not change, which meant it had no effect on the continuing decrease of polio. Besides that, after the polio vaccine, virtually all cases of polio that did appear had been caused by the vaccine. And then they changed the name so people wouldn't know there were people still getting polio. They started calling it myelitis.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment here to wrap up our program this evening with Dr. Lorraine Day. And as always, of course, it's always a fascinating to talk to Lorraine Day and get her thoughts on so much of what's going on here. So we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Dr. Lorraine Day. Lorraine, we got 3 minutes to wrap up this evening's program. What's the message that you'd like to leave with our listeners this evening?
Well, the message is that you can be well, but you have to start taking charge of your own health. As long as you go to someone else and leave your health in their hands, you're never going to be permanently well. You've got to take charge. You've got to stop doing the things that cause disease and start doing the things that rebuild your health. Once you start doing that, you never have to have another sick day in your life. I am now 68 years old. 2 years I'll be 70. I can do everything I did when I was 25. I don't have any aches or pains. I don't have headaches. I don't have migraines. I don't have arthritis. I can run. I can jog. I can play tennis. I can do all of those things. You don't have to get old. I'm not suggesting that you are going to look 18 when you're 70, but I can tell you that you will be healthy and you will be agile and you will not have pain. And you don't have to get, Jack LaLanne has shown that. He's 90 years old and he's still going strong because he has eaten right and he has exercised. You can do the same thing. Start taking charge of your health, because soon you won't have the availability of health care anyway. And if you put drugs in your body, all they'll do is contribute to disease.
All right, and of course, you have sections in your book about, of course, the sprouting of eating sprouts, and of course, all sorts of what looks like a fascinating recipes there for various things, of smoothies, and for all sorts of diet that are basically based upon a vegetarian diet. Would that be correct?
Well, that's right. They're all vegetarian dishes, and I can tell you, when you are a vegetarian, you can eat very, very well. You don't just eat salads. You can eat all sorts of things. And there are even some healthy sweets for Thanksgiving. I made pumpkin pies sweetened with dates. You can make special kinds of cakes that are sweetened with healthy things. So you don't have to deny yourself good things in life in order to be a vegetarian.
All right, fine. Of course, this is a fascinating approach. It's entirely different than, of course, anything we ever learned in medical school. But, of course, as you begin analyzing and then you begin going into the scientific studies, most of this is certainly backed up by solid science, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's why I put all those 17 pages full of documentation. Every step of the plan I used has been documented in the medical literature to actually do what I say it does.
Well, thank you so very much for being with us, Lorraine.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. Okay.
It's been great having you with us. Thanks very much, and we'll have you on again real soon. Once again, that telephone number is?
1-800-574-2437, and the website is www.drday.com.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Dr. Lorraine Day. It was always a pleasure to have here as a guest on our program, and of course this is the time when we have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is listener supported. We're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our program to help us as we reach out, trying to educate people about what's really going on in the world. So we certainly hope that many of you give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to keep doing what we're doing. And of course, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, we hope that many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can actually listen to our program 5 hours every day, either on our program, or you can listen to our archives, or you can listen to the other networks that we're on, starting at 7 o'clock Pacific time here in the morning, going till 10 o'clock every evening. Certainly, we're 4 hours a day on shortwave, and what a wonderful opportunity it is to reach people all across America with the information that they're not getting from other sources. So we hope you'll go to radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And then, of course, what you can do to help us is certainly call or tell other people about our radio programs. Encourage them to listen on the radio, to listen on shortwave. I had a fellow call just a couple of weeks ago. He told me that one of his friends had kept encouraging him over a period of about 6 months to start listening to our programs, telling him what was going on in the world, as we point out, how nothing is as it appears to be, that being consistently lied to, and then, of course, as time went by, and he sort of ignored his friend, and then he had a little old shortwave set, and he fixed it up. He tuned in. The first program he heard was one of ours, so he began listening without ever telling his friend he was listening, and after about 2 or 3 weeks, he began to say, you know, is it possible that what they're saying is true? And then they started reading, and now he's out trying to tell other people what's going on. And this is really how it's happening. A lot of people don't want to accept that we could be lied to by the media. We could be lied to by the people we trust. We could be being misinformed by our doctors and dentists. Not that they're bad people. They just have never heard the truth. And so you're going to have to help us educate your doctors. You're going to have to help us educate your dentists about the danger of water fluoridation, which they're going to advocate, without realizing that, of course, water fluoridation decreases fertility, lowers the testosterone level, damages the testes, lowers the IQ, lowers the mental acuity of people. It is definitely associated with cancers of a number of different organs, and large studies have shown that it produces cancer in animals. In communities where you have fluoridated water, you have higher cancer rates. Definite relationship between water fluoridation and osteogenic sarcoma in young men. Then, of course, there is the definite softening of the bone, increased hip fractures in the elderly. Produces hypothyroidism. It produces dental fluorosis. It attacks the endocrine system. And your dentist has no idea what he's doing is actually harming children. The last thing he'd want to do, but he's never read the scientific studies, and you've got to get hold of them. We'll be making those available to you. You'll certainly want to get a free copy of our latest newsletter. We'll be glad to send you one if you just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for a free copy of our Radio Liberty newsletter. That's the November letter. And so until tomorrow at the same time, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.